So today I'm just going to share a bit about my thoughts about preaching and what I did in Riga, what God enabled me to do. So I'm going to talk a bit about first century preaching and then the preaching in Riga. And a little survey I just did this week on Facebook about what people think about preaching. And then some conclusions. So when we think about the first century when Jesus was here and first of all telling people about the gospel, it was such an urgent message. Repent and believe the gospel, the kingdom of God is near. It wasn't just something in his spare time that he tried to hint at. It was an urgency that he had, that he wanted people to come to him. Life is short. It was short, even shorter then. The life expectancy was only about 30 years, I think, for males. And even now, so it's a little bit longer, but anyway, for all of us, the kingdom of God is at the end of our lifetime, and that's not very far away. So there was different ways that people came, reasons that people came to Jesus. Some people came because they wanted to hear his message, but a lot of people came just because they wanted to be healed. There wasn't a healthcare system then, and they wanted to get better. They heard there was this guy healing people, so they came. They heard he gave them food. But Jesus always used these opportunities he created to spread the message. So there was sort of a carrot that he used to bring people to him so that they would hear the gospel message. He also used wherever he was to teach people. So if he was in the mountains, he taught the people who came to him in the mountains. In the synagogue he taught, but that wasn't the most common place he taught. It wasn't long before he got kicked out of the synagogue, so he just had to preach wherever he was. Preach from a boat. So he's in a boat. Well, there were so many people crushing him that he had to get into the boat, wasn't it? So wherever he was, he used the opportunities he had to tell people the gospel message in a way that they could understand it, or in a way that made them want to understand it and think about it at least. And so I found myself in Riga, and I mainly started doing the work I did with women once we had a hall, like where I had a place to invite people to. When I was at uni...
Coastal Riga.
Yeah, well, it's not Riga, but Riga is coastal. It is. It just doesn't have palm trees, it has pine trees. Pine trees. Most of the preaching we did in Riga was with the homeless people, as you probably know. It just reminds me of this thing we studied in psychology about the hierarchy of needs. If we want people, we want to bring people to Jesus to a high level of spirituality. But if people don't have their physiological needs met, if they're hungry, thirsty, cold, and tired, then they're not going to be able to hear the message very easily. They're going to be thinking about being hungry, aren't they? So on Sundays, what we were doing with the feeding program was to satisfy those physiological needs of people for long enough for them to hear some of the gospel message. And with the women I was working with, they weren't hungry. They were normal, middle class for Latvia women who just wanted friendship, basically. Lonely working mothers who were on their maternity leave. In Latvia, maternity leave is for 1.5 years, which is pretty good compared to the rest of the world. But in that 1.5 years where they're at home with the kid, there's hardly anything organised for mothers with little babies. You're just sort of expected to stay at home and stop them from getting sick until they're old enough to go to preschool. And so I guess I was trying to, this yellow section, the need for friendship, build on that as a way to get contact with people who might be interested to hear the gospel. Also, running a toddlers group was something I could do because I just had Evia after I've finished uni and I didn't have any friends. All my friends from uni had left. I didn't know any other young mums in Riga and there weren't any mums groups to go to. It's not like in Australia. So I thought, well, what can I do? And actually the start of it was when Belinda came to visit me when Evia was born. And we made these invitations and started giving them out to mums in the park. I was really shy to start with. I was just like, here you go. Take this sort of thing. But I got a bit bolder as I went along. Also, I saw the gap. There was like a gap in the market. There was no toddlers groups for mums to really go to. So I saw that as an opening for me. And a way to break into social groups. Because once you sort of convert one person, then they're open to converting their friends, and then you can have a knock-on effect in converting other people. That's one thing we found with Riga. It all started with one sister, Lilia, who was a homeless sister, and from her we met all the other homeless people, and then they introduced other homeless people and their friends who weren't homeless and pensioners, and then it just has a knock-on effect once you can break into a social group. So this was probably a couple of years after I'd started this photo here. This is the hall we have in Riga, so on Sundays we were using it for the meeting and then on Wednesdays I was running a mums group, just trying all different things that would get mums interested in coming. I like the idea of having it at the hall because then they might be interested in coming to the hall on Sundays. As it turned out, no one ever came to the hall on a Sunday, hardly at all, because they were busy with their families. So I think in some cases you can't really expect people to come to meetings on Sundays. If you're trying to convert someone to being a regular Sunday attendee, it's a bit different than if you're trying to convert someone to Christ. I think we need to try and preach Christ. And once that person is committed enough, then they'll want to come on Sundays, but you can't expect them to come for 2 years of Sundays before you're ready to baptise them. Like, the urgency of Christ's message was, you know, you believe and you're baptised, not you believe and then attend and are baptised. It's not biblical. So it just seems like everything I do involves cooking, lots of meals and fellowship. I think fellowship's around a meal, really. Like the Last Supper was a meal, wasn't it? So just trying all different ways to make friends and know people, get to know people. Because it's only after you really know somebody you can find out what they believe spiritually. Because people aren't interested in talking about religion straight up. People are only interested in talking about their inner beliefs once they know you as a person, and once you know what they believe, where they're at, only then can you really start to tell them. So there were lots of different things I tried. I was running this every week, every Wednesday, so that just started off as just a play group. Then I started trying to teach English because some of them thought that they'd like their little kids to learn English. Baby music lessons, baby sensory, ran some kids camps, doing craft with the mums, Christmas parties, movie screening. There was an Australian movie called The Face of Birth, about home birth, that I showed and advertised all around the local area, and I had about 15 people come to it. And it's just funny, like random things like that. Through that, one of the a man was baptised, it ended up being. So I tried women's Bible study, but when I just advertised Bible study, nobody came. No, hardly anybody wants to just come for Bible study, unless they're already Christian. So learning to read the Bible effectively wouldn't have worked for me in Riga, unfortunately. Marriage relationships talks. In Riga, there's a really high divorce rate. And it's really sad family life there. I think more kids are born out of wedlock than in wedlock. Health talks, planting flowers in the park. I have a Facebook group for Latvian mothers, because there wasn't all that much around at the start of Facebook. So just like the sower scattering the seed, you just got to throw your seed out and far and wide and just scatter it everywhere, and you've got to just keep trying, I found out. This is one of the kids' camps I had at the housing project in Naukšteni. One of the mums who ended up getting baptised is the one in the blue there. So she was coming for 4 years. I was in touch with her before she was baptised. And the other mum there at the top of the stairs, she was the first one to come to my mum's group. And it was through her that I met the other mum there in the blue. So that was sort of a bit of breaking into a social group there, just people inviting their friends and getting to know you as a person. Yeah. And this is my very first mum friend here. She came through a speaking English class, but we still haven't been able to baptise her. She was coming to our house group for ages and ages, and she reads her Bible, but she's still a bit of a tough egg to crack, that one. Still praying for her that she'll want to make the commitment. Yeah, so also with the home birth group, trying to just get to know some of the mums better and see which of them are open to learning about Christ. This other mum here down the bottom right-hand corner, she's lovely and she really is looking for friends, and she really wants friendship, but she's just really not interested in God because of bad experiences she had in church as a young girl, and it's just, she needs lots of prayers too. Yeah. So lots of outings and activities, just planning lots of random things to do with them and trying to use conversations as a way to talk about spiritual things, to redirect the conversation to something spiritual, to try and talk about Jesus and what he's done for us. So this is first mum who got baptised. She's such a lovely person. She's a spiritual person anyway, and just learning about Jesus just sort of fits in with her personality. And I sort of sometimes feel like God is searching out for those people, trying to draw them to himself. I feel same with this sister here. She's really spiritual. Her husband is a Buddhist, which is really unusual for a Latvian to become a Buddhist. But their family is just really spiritual. I think that challenged her, him becoming a Buddhist, because it made her realise she's either going to go that way or she's Christian, because she was Christian before, nominal Christian before that. And so him going that way made her want to go the Christian way more, which was interesting. So out of all my hours of cleaning up toys, there were those two women who were baptised, and another brother who got baptised after him and his wife came to the movie screening I showed. After a long time, he was baptised. And a brother of one of the mums was baptised too. So lots and lots of hours, and four people really were baptised from it. And so the verses that helped me keep on going on is, do not grow weary in doing good, but in due season you will reap, but only if you don't give up. You've got to keep going. And Romans 12, about being hospitable, about being given to hospitality. Distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. because fellowship is usually around a meal, I think. I wanted to find out what really was the case with Christadelphians and how they felt about preaching. I didn't have that many people answer my survey in the end, but the results were fairly interesting. Most people considered preaching to be very important, which is nice. And that goes with what Jesus said. It's our command. Jesus commanded us to preach. Go into all the world and spread the gospel. Not just sit at home and hope someone notices how good you are. You know, go into the world and tell people the gospel message. And if we don't preach to somebody, there's a good chance that they won't hear it from anybody else. Less than 5% of people, I think, in the UK anyway, are regular churchgoers. That's not very much. And so the chances of somebody meeting a regular churchgoer who's actually going to have the courage to tell them about Jesus is probably not that great on a day-to-day basis. So if we really value people's lives, then we should tell them about Jesus. I think the value we give to preaching is the value we put on the eternal salvation of other people. So what are the main methods used? One-on-one talking, people said. They mostly speak one-on-one with people by example or indirect preaching. Internet preaching, inviting people to ecclesial activities, distributing leaflets, inviting people to seminars or public lectures. And one person said they don't preach. So. Yeah, but I think our example has to back up what we're saying, but you can't just hope that somebody's going to see your example and associate it with Jesus. You've got to tell them with your words. Because even Jesus' family didn't believe he was the Son of God. His brothers didn't believe in him to start with. They did later, but they didn't in the beginning. And even John the Baptist doubted that Jesus was really the Messiah. So even Jesus' example, people even doubted then. And we're not the Son of God. We're not perfect. We've got to tell people with our words, not just our actions. And biggest barriers to preaching, most people consider that people aren't interested in religion. And the next biggest one was they don't feel confident bringing them to the ecclesia. And then I don't know my Bible well enough. But we're not trying to preach the Bible when we're preaching. We're preaching Christ. We're Christians. We're not Biblians, we're Christians, we're trying to preach Jesus Christ. So don't worry about how you feel about your Bible knowledge. If you know Jesus as a person, you're sharing your relationship with Jesus with other people. That's what preaching is. And if you don't feel confident to bring them to the ecclesia, you work with that person where they are. You know, talk to them at home, over a meal, over a coffee. Maybe they'll never come to the ecclesia, but what they believe in their heart is what's important. And yeah, of course, if they're going to be more committed and they want to be part of the community, they will start attending. And people aren't interested in religion. People aren't on the surface, but everyone believes in something. And if you find out what they believe, what they really believe, you might be able to help them believe in Christ. So in the UK a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, there was a conference called The Big Conversation about why so many Christadelphians are leaving. And this is one of the slides from there, that in 1985 there were 12,000 Christadelphians in the UK and now there's about 8. So while the population's growing, the amount of Christadelphians is decreasing. So, something to think about. This is Christianity in general is also decreasing. And this is from the big conversation that by the year 2085, if things keep going as they are, there'll be no Christadelphians left. if something doesn't change, there'll be none left in the UK. So something has to change. One thing I was reading this morning is suggesting that the biggest reason there's such a loss of churchgoers is because they're not keeping their young people, that when the next generation doesn't come in, then that just has a knock-on effect for all the other generations, obviously, because then their kids aren't going to join either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how many times have you invited someone to a Christian meeting or event in the past year? Most people, 1 to 5 times, then the next 5 to 10, and then too many to count. So all the people who filled in the survey are trying to invite people along, but maybe inviting people along isn't always the way to go. But it's great if you can get them to come, of course. How many people have ever accepted Christ? So most people have been involved in 1 to 5 conversions, some then more than 10, and then none, and then 5 to 10. Yeah. So Jesus tried lots of different tactics to interest people in his message, and we should do likewise. Use the opportunities you have wherever you are and help that person where they are. They might not be the sort of person who wants to come and join a social group, but maybe they really want to know about Jesus. And don't give up. Find ways to break into social groups. Once you can convert one person, then you'll be able to talk to their friends probably as well. Be given to hospitality, and got to back up your words by your actions. And I think it's important to think how to make ecclesias more receptive to new converts, so that people feel really able to invite their friends and contacts to you, to the ecclesia. Any comments or questions? I guess it depends who you're talking to. I think.
You know what ecclesia means?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit of an old word. I think it would be better to just call it church.
Greeks would understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Russian people would be familiar with the word ecclesia or not. The Orthodox Church rather than...
Yeah, we had, like in Latvian, they don't have that word ecclesia, so we just called ourselves like fellowship.
Fellowship, that's a good word.
Yeah. Well, that's something they understand, as because church makes them think about the Catholics or Russian Orthodox, but then they have this other word for fellowship with like a little house church or something that's not a Catholic church, basically. So we just associated ourselves with the rest of the Protestants by calling ourselves a fellowship. Yeah, draude. Yeah, anyone have any experiences they'd like to share? That's great.
And I think that is a wonderful recommendation.
Yeah.
That's something she was looking for. She did not have a friend or a family in her life. So to have those people accept her as she is, tattoos and habits and all, meant an enormous amount to her and that she felt.
Yeah.
So I think that last one is so important. We have to get
Yeah, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, they say. And you really, like, if we really care for people, then we're going to tell them about Jesus. So what do you think Charlestown's doing right?
Well, I think what she said, and we didn't go with her to there, which was a she said, other people came up and talked to me today. I met another lovely lady, and then we played many questions, because I tried to guess who it was. how they behaved, even though she couldn't remember their name.
Mm.
And she could tell you if they were good listeners. Somebody really wanted their name.
Mm. That's nice.
Wow. This is what we need.
Yeah, that's great.
We just needed this secret because, unbeknownst to them, she did not have another person in her social circle. No family member wanted anything to do with her. So she said in her letter and in her testimony the last Saturday beside the water, I was longing to belong to this family. That's exactly what you said, that some of them are desperate for friendship and family, and they've done a remarkably good job, which is beautiful.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's from her report, not from
that's great.
I've seen her joy grow.
Hmm. Well, so maybe that's a challenge to everyone, to be especially welcoming to any visitors. Yeah.
We have a couple of groups here learning English around.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think I'd like to comment on the role that sharing food provides for those gatherings. We have one on Thursday morning and one on Sunday night. And they all sort of like the fact that we're sharing food together.
Yeah.
And they know so well they can help with their food.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, and I think it's nice you have the open house here on Thursdays too. Just being open to whoever wants to come, it's really nice. And I think it's good about getting them to help prepare the food too. It's nice you can do that because then it takes the stress away. If you can make preparing the food together part of fellowship, I think. Because if it's one person sort of putting on a show for everyone else, it won't last. It's just too hard. But if you can make it, so the tradition of it is to make it part of fellowship and make it a joint activity, then it would be great. Yeah, it would be really, it's really good. Because that was one hard thing in Riga. With all the hygiene regulations, we couldn't let anyone come in the kitchen unless they have a health book and done their courses about hygiene and stuff, which was annoying. But they were, yeah, a lot of them are really good at helping clean up the hall afterwards, which is nice. Yeah. So thank you.